Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. Thomas Schwenk joins us. He's the dean of the UNR School of Medicine and is here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Thomas Schwenk. He is dean of the University of Nevada School of Medicine. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Good to be here, Sam. Nice to see you.
So let's start out with where we are with COVID at this point in time. And we're taping this on June 17th, so people have a time reference here. Do you feel that there's enough context given to the numbers that appear in the media each day? Let's just start there. Do you think there's enough context?
Sometimes. I think some reporting is pretty good in terms of not focusing on the testing so much, but focusing on hospitalizations and deaths and complications. But I do see sometimes an attempt to kind of soften the numbers by talking about how the number of positive cases is going up because testing is going up. And that is indeed true. The more you test, the more you find. But the question is, how sick are the people who are positive? And if you tested a lot of people who didn't get sick and didn't go to the hospital, that would probably be a good thing, because then you'd know what the prevalence was in the community, but you weren't seeing a lot of severely ill people. What we're seeing in some of the states that have loosened restrictions is an increasing number of hospitalizations in addition to an increasing number of positive cases. So what I would tell people is, don't pay attention to the number of cases or the percentage of tests that are positive, pay attention to the hospitalizations.
How are the hospitalization rates here in Nevada then?
Holding, you know, just a teensy bump, perhaps. The governor, of course, yesterday was tracking this very closely and said, not time for phase three yet, because we've had just a little bit of an uptick, not much, but it's not going down. The hospital capacity, I think, is doing well. So part of the issue is to suppress the surge so hospitals can cope. But part of the issue is just the sheer number of severely ill people. And Nevada is just kind of holding at the edge. You really would like to see it to go down markedly before we moved into a new phase.
All right. So, you know, you're somebody who is both a medical doctor as well as running, a medical school, which makes you somewhat of a businessman as well. And we also have so many other things going along at the same time. So you want to stop the rate of infection to protect the hospitals, but at the same time, you have people essentially locked up in their homes with their families, which is not a healthy situation more families than one would even thought. So where is the balance in that?
Yeah, it's a tough call, no question. And I sympathize or empathize with politicians who have to make those calls. What concerns me, and what I think concerns most public health people as well, is it's one thing to say that we're going to loosen some of the restrictions and allow some businesses to open up and some other activities to open up. What people heard was, I get to do anything I want, whenever I want, without masks and without proper protection. So it would be fine to loosen the restrictions a bit, but we would like to see much more emphasis and really a groundswell of common support for everyone being masked, not making masking some sort of free speech issue or a partisan issue, but just do the right thing from a public health perspective, and we'd be much better off with some of this loosening. Our reports of going from complete isolation to complete open, unmasked, unprotected activity, and that's what's going to lead to some of these hotspots and some of these outbreaks.
At the same time, and I agree with you, but at the same time, what's happened here is we've opened the gate, and people who have been at home for 2 to 3 months are rushing through that gate, and they want their lives back.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so, we all understand that. I myself have been sitting more or less where you see me for going on 3+ months now, and I'm being very, very cautious, as I think everyone should be. I just think that we haven't emphasized enough the caveats here and what the middle ground is. There is indeed a middle ground. But when I do go out occasionally or do the occasional errand, I see a lot of people who are completely ignoring the guidance. And some people seem to feel invulnerable. It seems to be an age issue to some extent. Younger people certainly feel less at risk, which is in fact a case, but it's not zero risk. And young people do get sick, and middle-aged people do get sick, and some people get really sick. And I think that we would be fine to open up the economy and to begin to get back to some of those normal activities with the proper guidance. And people just have ignored that to some extent, which is a worry from a public health perspective.
All right. So the main guidance has been wear a mask, frequent hand washing, cough into your arm, those kinds of things. That's really the majority of the advice that's being given. It's also a virus which is going to run its course. There's not been a discussion of, well, we can end this virus because that's not real. I mean, we're hearing stories here and there of potential vaccines and things like that, but I would think that if I ask you realistically that we're probably at least a couple of years out from a vaccine, and even then, like the flu vaccine this year, it could totally miss the virus. So it's hard to know what to say to people who are charging through that gate.
Yeah, I think the issue here is that there's a belief, an unfounded belief, that we can go back to the way we were before the pandemic hit. And what we're talking about in the medical school is it's not going back to the way we were before. We're going back to a new normal. And what does that new normal look like? And if that meant that we were all masked and distanced and had some restrictions on our activities for the next year, but we could return to some semblance of normal life, that would be a good place to settle into. What we've seen instead is people going from quarantine or isolation to complete return to exactly the way they were living before, and that's just not realistic from a safety and a medical perspective. I do think a vaccine is likely to appear sooner than 2 years. I think it's possible, given the parallel processing that's taking place instead of sequential studies doing a lot of things in parallel. and looking at two different approaches to the vaccine, one to the protein on the spike and one to the RNA inside the virus, I think we'll get to a vaccine perhaps early 2021, perhaps into the spring. So I'm guessing less than a year, but between now and then, it's not return to normal. It is a return to a different normal. There's a new normal, and the new normal is not like the old normal, but it's not as bad as the way we were the last 3 months. But that's not the way people are approaching it. They're just flipping the switch and going back to life as the way it was. And we're going to start to see some surges and hot spots, and people are going to die. You know, we're still running deaths nationally in the 700-800 a day range, not in the same places. You know, one city will fall off and another one will pop up, but the overall number across the country is still running about 800 a day. That's a pretty big number.
All right. So another part of this is, and people talk to me about this, is that, you know, we've seen, you know, deaths being reported from COVID. And then after the big number saying deaths reported from COVID, a 93-year-old person with underlying conditions died from COVID. Is that a fair representation, or does that skew it towards the COVID numbers? Because, and I'm sorry, I have to say this, but the media loves to have numbers. And, you know, when we can get to a certain number, that's great, and we'll go past that. Whether it's good or bad news, that's what they tend to do. And so, you know, is that realistic when somebody who's in their 90s can fall over and die from that?
Sure. You know, the issue here is a actuarial or an epidemiologic issue. And are those people at risk? Might they have died of something else a month later? Sure. But there is some premature mortality here. There are people dying from something that they might not have died from at this point and might have had a continued life. But you're getting to the different issue, which is the way the media frequently report this is this constant obsession and focus with underlying medical conditions. And what that does for me is to make it seem like they are downplaying the risk and makes it seem like only people with underlying medical conditions are at risk, which is absolutely not the case, and makes it seem like age is the issue, which is not the case, and also sort of trivializes the death, and it's kind of along the lines of what you said. When media says, well, an 83-year-old with underlying medical conditions that died, the implication, the media doesn't say this exactly, but the implication is it doesn't really matter that much. You know, it's an older person, they were already sick, and they were going to die of something. And I just think that's awful and trivializes the life of a person and makes it seem like everybody else is not at risk, and that's just not the case. And it would be nice to have a little broader understanding of the risks here. The issue with the multisystem immune syndrome in children, MISC, that you're starting to hear about, the children with these vascular complications of COVID, actually helps the public understand better that this disease affects everyone. And it's the elderly and people with underlying conditions and babies and children as well. And so that helps a bit for people to understand better that this is really a wicked virus and that from a public policy perspective, we really do need to pay attention to that.
So let me ask you this. Why have we not seen a surge in COVID cases coming out of grocery stores, Home Depots, Lowe's, places like that, where, you know, I mean, those places have a ton of business going through them. They are putting in social distancing practices. But one would think that if there was going to be a breakout, it would come in one of those places because that's where the people are. Why do you think we're not seeing that?
Well, I don't think we know. We don't have the contact tracing and the epidemiologic surveillance to say that one way or another. There has been a focus on some of the outbreaks in churches and pool parties and family reunions because those are pretty concentrated. And, you know, if you see 10 out of 20 people at a family reunion suddenly turn positive, you're pretty sure of where it came from. You don't know all the people coming or going in the big box stores and what they've been exposed to and where else they've been. So it, without a really sophisticated epidemiologic surveillance, you can't say one way or another. I think it's absolutely for sure that there are people getting sick going around in stores without proper masking and safety, but we just can't say for sure.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back with Dr. Schwenk after this timeout.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Thomas Schwenk. He is the Dean of the University of Nevada School of Medicine. Let me ask you this, and this is going to sound a little bizarre, but I mean, in looking at history, not just of human history, but of plant life, animal life, etc., there is survival of the fittest. That is part of nature, is it not? And is that not part of what we should have to expect to deal with as human beings? I mean, we weren't able to avoid an asteroid hitting the planet and taking out the dinosaurs. There could be another pandemic next year, for all we know. So what do you see psychologically on the planet? Big question.
Yeah, so from a, you know, evolutionary perspective, I mean, you could certainly take that view. I think that we're in a phase right now where, in the absence of the ability to develop a vaccine, we would be experiencing exactly what you're describing, which is you can suppress the surge, but eventually, one way or another, you're going to get sick or not get sick. And that depends a lot on your immune system and your vulnerability and your underlying conditions. What we're doing right now is using distancing and masks and other kind of public health and behavioral means to get people to the point of a vaccine. I mean, that's the goal. And then you can actually alter the course of that evolutionary behavior, which we could not do in some past pandemics or other natural disasters. So, right, in the absence of a vaccine, we're not actually changing the course of history here. We can slow things down. We can suppress the surge. We can keep hospitals from getting overwhelmed. But if we had no hope of any permanent protection in a vaccine, then we would just be prolonging the inevitable. And one way or another, you're going to get sick or you're not going to get sick. So the goal here, get to the vaccine. And that's why I keep talking about this new normal. We're coming out of the isolation. We've now got probably a good 6 or 9 months, probably a year, before a vaccine will be fully in place and you'll have herd immunity. So we've got to figure out what that year looks like. And we're not doing a very good job of figuring that out. And we're doing it on a kind of a haphazard, you know, city by city, state by state basis. And that's not the way viruses work. We're just not respecting the way viruses will travel and think that we can do this on a micro basis. We need to think much broader and much longer.
What are your concerns about people who are being at home like yourself for months at a time, who are not being exposed to the elements, not being exposed to various things that are out there already? Doesn't this weaken your immune system for potentially other things, especially older people?
No, probably not. You know, for most adults, your immune system is to some extent developed in response to all of the prior infectious insults that you've had, and you have a complement of immune memory that will carry you for a time being. I suppose in the long term, if you were completely isolated, if you were a bubble boy and had no exposure to anything, your immune system might wane. But for now, probably not. I think we're fine for the time being.
All right, back with other topics right after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dr. Thomas Schwenk. He's the Dean of the University of Nevada School of Medicine. One of the things that has been very interesting to watch has been telemedicine, where doctors in your specialty, family practice, the doctor's office calls the patient and takes their medical information. 10-15 minutes later, the doctor calls in and has a conference with the patient. Instead of being 2 to 3 hours at the doctor's office, suddenly we have something that takes 15-20 minutes tops for both the patient and the doctor and his staff. Is this now the future?
This is actually one of the exciting unexpected benefits or silver linings. I think what we've learned as we went virtual in our medical practices for a couple of months is that there are a fair number of things that we can do very well with telemedicine. And as is true for all pandemics, you know, pandemics and other world cataclysms like this are the way that all sorts of new things develop, social, political, legal, financial, spiritual, and otherwise. And what we've learned medically is that we can and should move much more quickly and much harder towards virtual care for some of these common problems and some of the common kinds of advice, chronic disease management, preventive service delivery, even mental health care. Telepsych works fairly well for some patients. We swung, of course, very hard in that direction during the shutdown, and now we're sort of swinging the pendulum back a bit and finding that middle ground. But I think what you'll see is your family doctor, your primary care physician, may schedule a half day of nothing but virtual care and, you know, schedule 10-12 patients for a quick check-in, kind of line them up. The medical assistant will bring you into a Zoom or other platform, and the physician can work through a number of important questions and refill medications, and could be extremely efficient for everybody, patient, physician, staff, everyone. So I think you're going to see more of that. What you have to be careful about is not to swing too far. There are times when in-person visits are critical, not just the laying on of hands, but also all the nonverbal cues and the interaction that takes place face-to-face. And you wouldn't want to miss some of the advantages of that. So I think you're going to see alternating visits, for example, one in-person, one virtual, one in-person, one virtual, and you'll start to see more creativity there.
Just one quick question here, because we're running out of time. But it's great for the patients. What about the older doctors especially, who are going to lose that personal contact? Are you hearing concerns about that? And a brief answer, please.
Yeah, there's definitely concern about that. And there are definitely generational issues here. And you'll see younger physicians adapting more quickly. And those of us who are older may still want to have more of that in-person visit. But I think we'll learn over time.
And that's where we have to leave it. Dr. Thomas Schwenk, thank you so much for being here. As always, you're always a great guest. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Sam. Look forward to the next time.
Thank you, and we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.